I want to believe, but I do not feel whatever you're feeling. I want to believe, but I've seen people raising their hands, and I don't know that I feel like doing that, or if God's telling me to do that. I don't know if you do that because God tells you to do that, or let me tell you a story. When I was in college, about 2 or 3 years into following Jesus, I had some friends, really good friends of mine. We walked in the Lord together. We read our Bibles together. We prayed together. They're really good friends of mine. And they invited me to church and said, come, we really want you to come to church. I said, absolutely, I would love to come to your church. And so it was a worship night that night, and we went. It was in Fort Lauderdale, and we drove to the church. We walk in, and as I walk in, I look at the stage. There's like a 12-piece band on stage, and there are people everywhere. The room is pretty, it's like full, but it's spread out, you know? And there's seats towards the front, but the back was all empty, and people were dancing, and there's a huge group like in the front doing this thing, you know what I mean? Just this jumping back and forth. And there were some people in the back, and they had like a few flags, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But they had, like, I had never seen that before. And so they're waving flags, and then I had to make sure when I was walking through, I didn't step on anybody because people were like laid out on the floor. And then they told me if you sat in that seat that they would prophesy over you, and if you went to that corner that they would pray healing over you. And there was all these things going on. And I was like, man, I don't know what's happening. And they're like, don't you feel the Spirit of God right now in this place? I'm like, yeah. I guess, right? I don't want to say no. It's kind of offensive, right? But in that moment, I was thinking to myself, what am I missing? Am I doing something wrong? I mean, I remember sitting for about an hour, hour and a half, just in the corner of the room, just thinking to myself, God, are they crazy or am I crazy? I think one of us is wrong because I just don't feel what they're feeling. And here's the thing. I'm more charismatic than most of my friends, right? Than that, maybe the average believer. Like I kind of fall on that side. But when I was there, I just didn't feel the presence of God. I didn't feel the Spirit of God saying or doing any of these things. So I really struggled with that. And I might have been sounded a lot like this this video here, saying I just don't feel it. But when I look at my life, it's not only moments like that. There are other moments. So let me tell you this story. I was on my way downtown Orlando to hang out with a few friends for dinner. And on my way there, I had been downtown a lot in that season of life. And this is a couple years ago. And every time I went downtown, I ran into a homeless person. And that's fine. I've actually, you know, taken the trip to New Orleans. We work with the homeless a lot. And so my heart has grown for the homeless. Here's the issue. I just don't know, like, I just don't want to stop because those moments just take a long time usually. And so I was on my way to dinner with my friends. Not with my friends. I was meeting my friends there, right, by myself. So I'm on my way there, and I asked God. I said, God, and I really did. I asked God. I said, God, if it's okay with you, could I not run into any homeless people today? I'm already running late. I just know that would be nice, all right? So I pull up to the parking spot, get into the parking spot, nice parking spot. Usually you have to walk like 20 minutes to get wherever you're going from downtown, nice park, like 5-10 minutes away, right? So I park, get out of the car, go to the meter, and as I go around my car to the meter, I realize there's a bench right next to my car, and on that bench is a homeless person. And I kind of looked at them, but I didn't want to look at them too long. You know, like when you were in class and the teacher said, anybody want, and then you look down, you know what I mean? So I did one of those things. And so I went and I went to the parking meter, and he's behind me. And then I started to walk away, and he says, hey man, can you help me out? I turned around. Yeah, of course I can. What's going on? And so we started to have a conversation. He says, hey man, I know a guy on the corner that will give me a coffee for a dollar. Would you mind sparing me a dollar? And I just thought to myself, well, I have some quarters in my car. It's right here. Boom. Handled, right? Real quick. Like, this is good. So, of course I can. Feeling so generous. Go into my car, grab the quarters, hand it to the guy. Hey, God bless you, man. All right, I gotta go. He said, hey man. Hey man, like what's going on? He says, yeah, I just, what do you got going on tonight? And I'm going to meet friends right now. I'm actually running a little bit late. He's like, well, can you help me out? Sure. He says, I just need to make a phone call. Do you have a phone I can use? Yes, I do. But is it all right if I put my phone on speaker and I hold my phone? Is that all right with you? Yes, that's fine. So I pull out my phone, hold my phone out. He calls, leaves this crazy voicemail for some guy. I wish I just knew the context of the story. Leaves a voicemail, done. I said, hey, can I pray for you? You know, I ask him, and he says, yeah, absolutely. So I pray for him, and I'm like, great, man. I hope you have a good night. Enjoy the coffee you're going to get. He says, hey, man. And at this point, I'm wrestling, because I'm like, God, we talked about this, you know? Like I've been trying to serve him, you know, and I'm wrestling. But every time he said, "Hey man," I really felt like God was like, "Yeah, hey man, like come here." So I kept going back, and so this third time I went back, he says, "Could you help me out?" I said, "Yes. What is going on?" Trying to be direct to the point. He says, "I lost my glasses." "You lost your glasses? Where?" It's like down this road. It's no. I dropped them. And I said, "You dropped the glasses." I'm looking down. He's sitting on the bench. He's a larger guy. So I'm, you know, just looking around. Don't see any glasses. And I was like, "I don't see it on the floor." He's like, "No." And in my head, I don't know what he's about to say. You know, I'm waiting. He keeps looking down. He says, I dropped them in my pants." "You dropped them inside of your pants?" "Yeah, I dropped them in my pants." I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I'm not really sure what he's asking me now, you know? So he says, "I dropped them in my pants. So I said, so what would you like me to do to help you?" And he said, "Well, I dropped them and they fell all the way down to around my ankles. And I haven't been able to get them like out of the cuff of the pants here. And so I was wondering if you could help me." I was, man, this is tough. And in that moment, I thought to myself, I was reminded, I really believe by the Spirit of God, I was reminded of Jesus when he was washing the disciples' feet. Thinking about how crazy of a task that would have been. And I'm thinking to myself, is this what you're asking me to do right now? I really feel like the Spirit of God was like, yeah. So here I go on downtown Orlando, going inside of the pants of this homeless man. So I begin to grab the cuff, and I feel the glasses in the cuff of the pants. But as I lift the cuff, the glasses are not there. And now I'm just confused. So I say, "Hey, where?" They're not. He says, "What happened was, I had the glasses in my pocket, but I had a hole in my pocket. So the glasses fell within the seam of my pants. And so they're in his pants, the bottom of his pants, but they're literally inside the pants." So I'm asking him again, "So what would you like me to do here?" And he says, well, could you rip them? Could I rip them? Could you rip my pants? I can try to rip your pants. Like, I don't know if I'm strong enough to rip your pants. Yeah, could you just try? I think you can do it. They're not... Sure. So I'm trying to rip this homeless man's pants. I'm like looking around like, do I look crazy? Right? And I'm trying to rip this man's pants. I cannot do it for the life of me. I'm trying. I'm like, I want to serve this man and I can't do it right now. And so I'm doing this. And then he pulls out a hanger and he gives me the hanger. He's like, maybe you could do it with this. So with the hanger, I rip the pants, get the glasses, give it to him. And then he says, "Can I pray for you?" And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So he prays for me and then he sends me off to dinner. It was crazy. Okay. And I tell you that story is because my life is filled with both sides of the spectrum, right? Moments where I really feel like the Spirit of God was telling me to do something crazy. And I really felt like it was the Spirit of God telling me to do that. And there were other times where I was in a room where everybody else seemed like they were in tune with the Spirit of God. And it was only me sitting there by myself like, am I crazy? Am I doing something wrong? Did I forget to plug something in? Right? And so I bring this up this morning because the question is, you know, was God more present in one situation than the other? Or was he less present in one situation than the other? And a lot of times, our idea of the Holy Spirit is really based upon this, whatever we've heard. So either it's a lack of understanding or it's a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we even approach the Holy Spirit as if we are, like you personally, like we are the perfect thermometer of whether or not the Holy Spirit is present. Right? Like if you don't feel him, he's not there. And we operate that way sometimes. The question is that true? Is that a good way of approaching the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And how do we understand him? Because I think we've heard a lot of different things. And there are a lot of different things to say about the Holy Spirit. But I want to ask this question. Who is the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to count down 1, 2, 3. And then you, all of you at the same time, are going to tell me who the Holy Spirit is. You ready? Yeah, out loud. You got it in your head? Who is the Holy Spirit? You have an answer? All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, whoa, snap, you guys were all on the same page. First service was mess, and they said a bunch of things. All of you guys said God, and the second time, I had this first service do it twice, and the second time, they heard other people say God, so then they all say God together. It was interesting, social experiment. But, Holy Spirit is God, great. Now, what does that mean? How do we approach him? How do we talk to him? And what does he do? I mean, we pray to the Father, right? Hey, Father, thank you so much for today. We pray this in Jesus' name. But let me ask you, where's the Holy Spirit? Do we talk to him? Do we know how he works? And so for us this morning, we are going to approach this. We're gonna step a little bit closer to who the Holy Spirit is, because there's a lot of questions that we have about the Holy Spirit. Like, is he supposed to bring me goosebumps? Like, is the Holy Spirit only present when I'm jumping or crying or feeling some type of way or on a retreat or when a really good preacher comes or when it's a really good worship band? Is the Holy Spirit present only then? Or is the Holy Spirit more than just our feelings? So we're going to predominantly be in John 14 and John 16, for those of you who have a Bible. And the verse that I want us to look at, and this is going to be the heading, and everything else is going to point to this idea from John 14, verse 16. He says, Jesus speaking, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." This is the first time that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He says that he's going to ask the Father, and the Father is going to give you another helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, that word helper is the word that we're going to use today. But if you have different Bibles, you might notice that other translations might translate that word to counselor or advocate, which are all great translations of the word. Really, the Holy Spirit is so much to unpack. And we can just read verse after verse in the Bible to begin to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And counselor, advocate, helper, all of these three words, they don't operate separately, but they operate in unison. He is a counselor. He does counsel us, right? He does give us guidance, and he does speak over us. And he is an advocate, right? He does speak up on our behalf. This is something that the Spirit does. But to encapsulate these two things, we're going to use the word helper, like the ESV uses. He helps us. Now, there is a bad part about using this word. How many of you have ever had a little helper? Yeah? Raise your hand. Just let me know if you... Yeah, all right, cool. What does the little helper do? Make more of a mess. Do whatever he wants. All right? Just... It's kind of funny. It's kind of crazy. The little helper doesn't help much. All right? Because they're on their own. See, what we're saying about the Holy Spirit is not that he is a little helper. We're not saying that he's come to ruin a few things. We're not saying that he's come to just do a little bit of the part, because we're going to do the whole. He's just going to fill in some of the gaps. But in this text, it's really interesting. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So meaning he's referring to himself as the first helper. So as we approach the Holy Spirit, what Jesus wants us to understand is, as I was your helper, so will he be. So will the Holy Spirit. Right? So thinking about the Holy Spirit as helper, I was thinking about another way of thinking about it. How many of you ever played a new game? Right? Played a new game, didn't know the rules. Right? And you sat across the table from someone and you said, hey, could you, in this round, could you just play with me? Could you just be my helper? You know? Right? That's a little bit different than a little helper, right? Because that helper now helps you do things that you cannot do on your own. Because helps you understand things that you do not yet understand. And with the helper that we have in the Holy Spirit is that he begins to help us do things that we cannot do on our own and helps us understand things that we do not yet understand. Right? And in the vastness of who Jesus is, thinking about him as Savior. And he calls himself Helper because he helps us do what we could not do on our own, and that is to know God. So he says, I will send you another helper. So you see how big this word is? Helper, it's large. It's not small. It's not minor. It's not to be demeaning of the Holy Spirit, but it's supposed to be big for us. Just like Jesus was helper, so will be the Holy Spirit. And helper will be the word that we use for the rest of our time this morning. We're going to point to, and we're going to ask the question, how is the Holy Spirit our helper? Would you pray with me? God, I pray right now, Father, that you would give us insight through the power of your Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? We don't want to ignore you any longer. We don't want to be afraid of you. We want to embrace what Jesus has spoken about you. Yeah. So we give this time to you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So in John 14, starting in verse 15, we're going to read through some verses together. John 14, starting in verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So this passage starts off by saying in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then he says, I am going to send you another helper. So the first thing that we see, and we'll see it throughout this whole passage that we just read together, is that the Holy Spirit is to help us live, to live out the ways of Jesus, right? He's our helper. Now, starting with this first verse, in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A lot of times, I've talked to people and they've said things like, you know what? I've kept his commandments. I just never felt God before. And I've kept his commandments, and it's hard to keep his commandments. and I've tried to keep his commandments, but I haven't kept his commandments, or in failing to keep his commandments, I've just grown bitter and angry, and therefore I don't know about this God thing. I don't know what it's like to be in relationship with him. And this Holy Spirit helper, I don't even know what that means. Jesus is not teaching conditional statements here. Like, if you love me, then you'll do my commandments. So then I will love you. And then I will make my spirit come and be with you. He's not teaching conditional statements to, if you do this, then you will do this. But what he's teaching is relational statements. So I want you to get this because this is huge. Jesus is saying, if you actually loved me, if you really loved me, you would live in the ways that I've taught you to live. If you loved me. If you don't love me, of course you wouldn't live the way I taught you to live. But if you loved me, you would. And that looks like keeping my commandments. And if you loved me and you kept my commandments, you would know that my Father loves you. How would you know that? Because if you listen to Jesus, who is teaching you from the Father, all right? If you listen to Jesus, who is teaching you from the Father, and you live out a life, and now you are living a life that is more full, that is more satisfied, you will begin to understand that what God told you from the beginning was good, and that he loves you, and he has what's best in mind for you. You begin to understand his love for you. And not only will you begin to understand his love for you, the Holy Spirit will be helping you live this out. And as he does that, you will know that he made his home with you. See, these statements that he makes, the way that he explains the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that is coming to dwell with us is one that is very relational. And let me break this down for you like this. Have you ever seen Young Love? Maybe you've been in Young Love, right? Maybe you've, parents, anybody have teenage boys who are in love right now? You don't have to raise your hand, just, or you seen one? You know, it's like that parent that came to me and they're like, all of a sudden my son is wearing deodorant and asking me for cologne for Christmas. Like, that has never happened. I don't know what's going on, right? You see a light in his room at late at night. You're like, is he playing video games? You open the door, he's writing love notes. And you're thinking to yourself, what, who is this young man, right? And then maybe if you're a little bit older, you're trying to romance someone, and so you wake up a little bit earlier, you grab that person's their special coffee order, and you drop off their coffee at work, or you bring them flowers. Maybe you dress up a little nicer, like, I didn't know you had style. Yeah. Right? Someone ever said that? You ever saw somewhere, and then somebody's like, who are you gonna meet? I don't know if that happens to you, but. But this Young Love, I see it all the time. I work with students. I see it all the time. I'm like, you always wear shorts here. You're wearing nice clothes. Who'd you bring tonight? Young Love. Young Love compels us. Love compels us. And what happens is when we love something, it changes the way that we live. The same is true about our love for God. When you love him, it changes the way that you live. If you actually love him, it would transform the way that you talk and live and act and move. I remember when I first started my journey with God. And I tell you, man, I hated reading, but I loved this book. And I would tell people that I'm reading this book, and like, you're reading, I know. I didn't used to read, but I love reading this book. And then the way I lived, I would go to school and I would talk to some of my friends, and they were like, "You love Jesus? Like, what does that mean?" And yes, like he's crazy. He's crazy. He says some incredible things. Like, if we actually lived this out, it really would begin to change some things. I remember driving the first time when we moved from Orlando to Claremont, the first time driving past my new high school that I was going to go to. And I remember it was like months after following Jesus. And I look at the school. I remember turning to my dad and saying, those students are going to love Jesus. They're going to get to know Jesus. They're going to hear about Jesus. I remember looking at myself thinking like, who are you? My dad's like, who is this? Really? Like, who? You never talked like this before. It's because this book, it's not just a book. It tells about this God. And his name is Jesus. And in this book, I found God to be more loving than I ever knew, more real than anything I had ever experienced, and more worth following than any other person I've ever met. And so as I began to know this God, I began to love this God. And let me tell you, my journey was messy. But in loving God, I began to follow his ways. And in following his ways, I've become more and more convinced of how much God loves me. And in becoming more and more convinced of God's love for me as I follow his ways, I've realized that God's spirit that he gives me actually helps me live out his ways. And as I've realized this, I've realized that God has made his home in me. And he makes his home in you as a follower of Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Love compels us. And our love for God transforms the way that we live. See, and the Holy Spirit will help us do that. The Holy Spirit helps us live. John 14, verse 26 and 27 says this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. He will teach you and he will bring to your remembrance. Is that familiar to any story I just told? All right. There are these moments in our life that it's not about our feelings. It's not about our emotions. And let me just take a pause for a moment here. And let me say this. God can use our emotions and God can use our feelings. He created you. He is Lord over those things and much more. So if he can use your broken logic, if he can use your broken emotions, if he's Lord over all of that, we can see him use anything to speak to us. Amen? But let's be clear. The Holy Spirit is not just about goosebumps. The Holy Spirit helps us learn. He says he will teach us and he will bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has taught. Like the moments in which I was downtown Orlando talking to a homeless guy and I was reminded of Jesus washing his feet. I was thinking, man, do I really want to have part with Jesus or do I want to just live the life that I want to live? Maybe you have people in your life where you're thinking about, you know, compassion is filled up in your heart for them, to love them, to do something for them, to go out your way for them. Do you think that's really come from you? Or is that the Spirit of God welling up compassion that you might love someone in an extravagant way? Even more so, check this next few verses out. And we're going to jump to chapter 16, verse 12 through 15. And Jesus says this, I still have many things to say to you. Jesus still has many things to say to us. But you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what he's explaining to us now is that the Holy Spirit, this is crazy, that Jesus says, I have more things that I want to say to you. Does anybody want to know what those more things are? I have more things that I want to speak to you. I want to teach you. I want to lead you towards. But you cannot bear them right now. He says, so, I'm going to give them to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak them to you. Now, this is where we get caught up. Because honestly, if I can be frank, we really approach God as if he was Father, Son, and Holy Bible. That we don't trust the Spirit of God in our daily lives or how we treat people, how we make decisions, how we operate. We pray to the Father, we thank Jesus, and then we live how we live, and we read our Bible. And that's incredible. That's awesome that you read your Bible. And this is this inspired word of God. We believe the Spirit of God actually inspired these words. But more than that, Jesus says that I'm giving words that you are not ready for to the Spirit so that he can speak on my authority to you. So when you're thinking about forgiving that person, and you're wondering how you're going to go about that, the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. When you have $200 more than you expected this month, and you just so happen to talk to that friend this month, and they said, man, I'm really struggling, I'm really in need. And the Spirit of God wells up in you and says, hey, be generous. When you are looking to make the big decisions, like big moves, San Francisco is not in 1 John. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of your questions that you have specifically about things in life might not be here in these scriptures. But the Spirit of God wants to lead you into all truth. That's what he does. He helps us learn. And so then the question comes, well, how would I know? How would I know it's the Spirit of God? Can't I just say anything and then just apply it to the Holy Spirit? Well, no, you can't. Colossians 1 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That in Jesus, we see the fullness of God. So if that's true, then what we find is when we open up these gospels and we see the way that Jesus lives, Jesus even teaches us, he says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. We begin to see how he lives, we begin to see how he interacts with people, we begin to see how he speaks, so that when the Spirit of God speaks to us, we know it. If it looks like Jesus, then it must be him. And if it doesn't look like Jesus, and it looks opposite to the things that Jesus teaches here, I'm gonna lay that to the side. I'm gonna discern the Spirit of God based upon what I've read in these scriptures about Jesus. But the Spirit of God is here to help you learn. He's here to lead you into all truth. I know some of you are asking questions right now, waiting for the Spirit to answer. You lean into the Spirit and trust him to teach you that you might learn. Romans 12 is a passage that I always refer to when I think about transformation because of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12 says that we are to be transformed, not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind. The way that you think is ought to be transformed by the Holy Spirit to think more like Jesus. Even in all of these passages, it speaks about the Holy Spirit glorifying Jesus. It's a pointing to Jesus. This is who the Holy Spirit is, and this is how he helps us. We're going to jump to chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So first off, Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I was standing there next to Jesus, and he gave me an option, I'll take you, Jesus. I hear you talk about the Holy Spirit. I'll take you, right? But Jesus says, no, Damien, listen here. It is better that I leave, that you have the Holy Spirit. So all of you, like, I don't know if you've ever been where I've been. I've said these things before. Like, I wish I was one of the disciples. Because if I saw Jesus, man, my faith would be on fire. If I walked with him, I mean, man, I would have more faith. I would have more assurance than I've ever had in my whole life. And Jesus says, no. You have the better side of the coin. It is better that I leave, that you have the Holy Spirit, so that he can be not just with you, but he can be in you. And look what he is going to do. He is going to convict the world on these things concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He says that the Holy Spirit will convict or expose, that's another word for convict, right? To expose sin, because we don't believe Jesus is God and do not trust his teachings yet. So we don't believe that Jesus is God. As he begins to talk to us about sin, he says that our idea of sin is wrong. And when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with you, it will begin to expose the real truth. The real truth is that what Jesus has began to teach us about sin is actually true. But the reason why he's going to expose sin is because we do not yet believe Jesus. Does that make sense? He says, if you would begin to understand that I am who I am and what I have to say about these things are true, then you would begin to understand. But because you don't, because you do not yet believe me, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell with you, he's going to begin to expose sin. And then he says he's going to expose righteousness. It says concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Now, righteousness is a term that we use that really means right standing with God, right? Right standing with God, that your relationship would be made right. So Jesus says, I'm going to expose righteousness because you think you know righteousness. You think you are earned righteousness by the things that you do, the people's applause, people's opinion. You think you earn righteousness and you think you've understood it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm about to leave, he says, and be with the Father. I'm actually going to stand with the Father. Do you want to know righteousness? Righteousness is in me and only me. So as we approach Jesus, what we find is he shows us true righteousness. And the Holy Spirit is what is going to teach us and expose us for false righteousness, to say it is not righteousness to just do all these good things, to say all these good things, to act this way. But true righteousness is found in Jesus. And then he says, the Spirit concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That the Holy Spirit will convict and expose judgment, because Jesus will return to judge the world, to judge the ruler of this world. That even the way that we've learned judgment has been misconstrued, has been incorrect. The way that we learn judgment is oftentimes out of vengeance and violence, retribution. But the way that Jesus teaches judgment is very different. And when you begin to understand what Jesus is doing here by explaining the Holy Spirit, he says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict your hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and show you what these things truly are. Because what he wants us to do, he wants the Spirit to help us understand the kingdom of God. Jesus, every time he preaches the good news, the gospel, he teaches about this kingdom of God. And so much of this kingdom has to do with sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he says, the Spirit of God, when he comes to dwell with you, he's going to begin to expose these things. Well, what does that practically look like? What does Jesus mean? How does this really unpack itself? The band's going to come up, and I want to unpack this by a story that you might have heard last week in John 8 that Van taught. It's a story about an adulterous woman. She's caught in adultery. And she's standing there, and there are a bunch of religious guys about to stone her. And as she stands there, Jesus walks up, and the religious guys think, yeah, we caught her. And we caught Jesus too, ready? Hey, Jesus, isn't it right by law if we caught her in adultery to stone her? Isn't that what the law says? They're trying to expose sin. Jesus says, you want to expose sin? All right, let's do this. You who have not sinned, cast the first stone. He begins to write on the floor. And in that statement, he exposes sin to say, if you haven't sinned, go ahead and cast the first stone. But if you have sinned, you go ahead and you walk away. And he exposes righteousness by saying, if you have not sinned, why don't you go ahead and be righteous and throw the first stone? But guess what? Nobody standing there besides the one, Jesus, was righteous. So then the righteous one is the one who declares judgment, right? So he stands up and he walks to the woman. He looks at her and he says, do any of these men condemn you? She looks up and she says, no. Well, he says, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. That's the judgment of Jesus. He forgives. It looks a lot different, like the judge of our world, right? The way our world teaches judgment. But what Jesus does is explain to us a new way of living, a new type of kingdom that we are to be a part of. And he says he's going to send his spirit to dwell with us, to teach us about sin, about righteousness, about judgment. It'll look a lot like Jesus. Because Jesus was our first helper, and the Holy Spirit's coming to be another helper. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's our helper. He helps us live. He helps us learn. He helps us understand this kingdom of God. But where are you? Where do you fall on the spectrum? From one side of whether you've really never felt God and you've always wondered, you know, is this about feelings? Is it about goosebumps? Is it about crying? Is it about any of these things? Or maybe you're on the other side where you've thought to yourself, you know, it's all about feelings. It's all about these things. But sometimes when I don't feel them, I feel like God's not there. What if we met somewhere in the middle and we said the Lord is Lord over our emotions, and he's Lord even when we don't feel him. We trust the Holy Spirit to teach us how to live, how to learn and understand the kingdom of God, that we might live differently, that our lives might look more like Jesus. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He's our helper. He starts off John 14 by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. And then he introduces the Holy Spirit. I pray that as we begin to think about this, that you would begin to contemplate, where are you? Are you ignoring part of who God is? Do you pray to the Father and pray in the name of the Son, but ignore the Spirit in your life? Is he teaching you how to live, how to learn, how to understand the kingdom of God? Because we can trust him for these things. That's what Jesus taught us. So, let not your hearts be troubled, but you'd be encouraged. You'd find peace in this word this morning. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, we know that there's so much to say about your Spirit. God, and we know that we can be so confused by a lot of the different things that we've heard. And God, some of us might be in this room asking the question, is that what it means to follow Jesus? Is that what it means to have the Holy Spirit? It's to love him and allow the Spirit of God to help me live. God, I pray for that person right now who might be in this room just asking that question. Is that what it means? God, I pray that you would speak to them, that you would meet them where they are, and they would hear you say, yes, that's what it means. Come and follow me. God, I pray that the hearts in this room would be encouraged to know that you, the fullness of God, has come to dwell with man, in man, through your Holy Spirit, that we might know you as our helper and our advocate and our counselor and our friend. That our hearts would be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment, and we would learn how you treat these things. Yeah. God, thank you that you treat these things with love and grace and mercy and kindness. You're so good. Yeah, God. So would you speak to us now? Would your Spirit speak to us now? about how we are to notice you more, how we are to pay more attention to you in our lives, not this week, but for the rest of our lives. We love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.